Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bo Dietl, as many of you know, was one of the most decorated cops in New York history. He opened his own investigative practice, Bo Dietl and Associates in New York. He's written books. One of the books I want to talk about at some point with him is Business Lunchitations, which I was fortunate enough to be at the book party for. But he's a New York guy. He's a raconteur. We talked a couple of weeks ago on my opening week, and we want to talk some more because I want to talk to Bo about police procedures. What actually works on the street? And we've got situations in Columbus. Of course, we had the George Floyd situation. We have the situation in Brooklyn Center. All of those are front and center right now. And nobody that I know has, especially in his undercover days, dealt directly with violence and violent crime the way Bo Dietl did. So I want to talk to him about all of these situations and police procedures. And that's where we're going to start off literally right now. Bo Dietl, welcome and welcome back.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? I want to first start off with a tragedy that happened in New York on the Long Island Expressway.
Yeah.
A highway patrol officer was outside with a fatality accident where someone had gotten killed and he was moving the traffic. And this woman, and this is a great story because here's the backdrop of the story. She's a woman that has a podcast about hating cops, supporting Black Lives Matter, and she was spewing all kinds of nonsense, hate cops, hate their families. And then she runs and she hits an officer, knocked his leg off, knocked it down 200 feet, drove, kept racing away, and killed that officer. It's just such a remarkable story. She just finished doing a racist podcast against policemen, and then she goes and kills one. And she was high on alcohol and pot. And, this just shows you the what's going on right now. And to go back to what you're talking about, every incident has to be separated. Now, I'm going from experience. I'm not talking about these highlighted things. God knows if they had video cameras when I was a cop, an undercover cop. If you remember, I was a decoy.
Yep.
I was mugged 500 times. I was shot at, stabbed. I was hospitalized 30 times. I never killed anyone. I used the maneuver of taking down 6'2", 3'4" size guys with a headlock, which is now illegal. I climbed on top of people. Don't realize when you're arresting someone and they're resisting, it isn't a pretty thing. And you have to immobilize the person.
You've got to meet violence with violence, right, Bo?
Well, now, you can't actually get on top of them now. So I don't understand how in God's name that you're going to be able to arrest somebody without touching them. Maybe you should just hover over them, levitate, and drop the handcuffs. Nobody. Now, I'm going to tell you, Bob, thousands of people I affected the U.S., nobody died with my headlock. A headlock is a very good maneuver to get somebody on the ground because you want to immobilize them to get him or she with handcuffs. And if you try to arrest a 100-pound lady, you're still you're going to have a problem. People who don't want to get handcuffs put on them, it's going to look very, very violent. And now with the advent of these cell phone cameras, everything's coming out. But there's so many incidents, hundreds of millions of incidents a year that are out there with people being arrested and all that. And it just hurts me so much that now they've reversed it on the police, and now the police are the demons. And the police now in New York City, how bad is it? They've told already, if we define that you use too much force, one, you'll lose your job, two, you'll lose your pension. Now they have a new one. This moron city council came out with, and guess what? You are going to be able to be sued civilly. That means your house that you've been working for your whole life, we're going to take it away. And you'll be sued civilly on top. So what in God's name are cops supposed to do? Majority of cops I talk to, you know what they said to me? We'll take a report after the fact, and that's it. We'll not get involved. And now you use that. We can highlight a couple of the cases. First of all, what happened in Minnesota with George Floyd. He was not the most respectful, outstanding citizen of America, but he should not have died. And the cops should have not kept him on the ground there for that period of time. No one can exonerate the cop for doing that. If a dog was hung up on a fence, on a leash, I would have helped the dog. That was wrong.
Bo, we're talking with Bo Dietl of Bo Dietl Investigations and former New York City cop, multi-time candidate for political office in New York City. Bo, did you agree with the Chauvin verdict?
Well, I agree there should have been no more than a manslaughter. And, I mean, and look, in reality, when I watched it, I was not happy. And if I was there and I was on the scene there, I don't care who it was, I would have told the cop, you know, enough. Let's cuff him, get him the hell out. But I'd be honest with you, in looking at the autopsy report with the amount of fentanyl in him, he would have went home and died in his apartment of an overdose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was going to die. And when he was saying he couldn't breathe in the beginning, yeah, because he was having a heart attack from the fentanyl that was in his body. But with that said, we can't condone watching what that cop did.
Now Bo, you were an officer prior to taser, widespread taser use, or maybe even the invention of tasers. Tell me what your thoughts are on the Brooklyn Center with Dante Wright when he was shot mistakenly by that veteran police officer.
I always look at a motive. What motive would that female police officer have to kill him? Now, you look at, she's saying she made a mistake. As a cop, I can't understand how you can make a mistake pulling out a taser, which is yellow, which weighs like less than a pound, and now you have your gun. I don't get that. But with all that said, you know, I have to believe that this woman lost it, and there was the intention wasn't to kill her. If you listen to her, she says, oh, my God, taser, then she shoots him. Every case has to be individually looked at. And then you look at, you know, you look at every case, and even the case in Ohio, when you have that woman that was going after the other woman, and people don't realize us as law enforcement officers, the code is that you can use deadly physical force if you're going to get killed or if another person's going to be killed.
And so from what you saw, but what you saw of the video, this young lady who didn't, I mean, she's fully grown adult, really, despite her age. Yeah. She had a real knife. It wasn't a Swiss Army knife. It was a real knife capable of killing.
Looked like she was going to plunge it. She looks like she was going to plunge it. And you want to know something? The cop did nothing wrong, and the cop did his job. Now, if that girl would have gotten a knife plunged into her heart and she died, and the cop didn't shoot, they'll say the cop didn't do his job. So let's look at all the individual circumstances. And now what has happened, the wide brush has been painted that every cop is a racist. This whole new advent of this critical race theory is behind this whole thing. And I want your listeners to look up critical race theory, what it's about. It's the advent of Marxism in our country. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but all I can say is I'm seeing it happen before my eyes. When you see the 1960s, which I grew up in, we had the civil rights movement. And if you looked at the civil rights movement, you had all these left-wing Marxists and communists were going on board with the civil rights actions, but then it screwed up a little bit, Bob. You know why? Because we passed civil rights legislation for voting and everything, and we accepted the fact that we're all one. We're all one in America, whether you're black or white. That threw a little monkey wrench into this whole Marxist idea about taking over the country. Then go through the 60s, people, middle-class people are doing well. Everybody's working together. We're starting to realize we're all one. There's not black and white. We're Americans, and that's what we all are. Now, the 1990s, here's what happens.
We're talking with Bo Deedle, decorated New York City cop, and the head of Bo Deedle Investigations here on WILK. Bob Cadaro with you. Continue, Bo. Go ahead.
So now the 1990s come. Now these liberal socialist Marxist professors in our college start to teach our kids who are in college now, including my own children, about that we should be guilty of this idiotic 1610 theory of when America started with slavery, and because you're white, you're an accepted person of slavery, and all this garbage. Now you go through. Now all of a sudden, human resources come into corporation, diversity training. Now we have every federal government institution now has adopted this whole critical race theory. Every corporation. And now America is changing over to this Marxist way of thinking where they're going to control us. And we see what's happening even with the pandemic, with this Chinese pandemic that we have, with the Chinese flu, as far as what's going on, where some people are saying, you got to wear a mask, you can't wear a mask. It's all about one thing, control. And socialism and communism is about the government controlling the people, telling you what to do. Now you got this, I'm laughing because it's so hysterical. You got this, he's not really the bad guy, Biden, that you think he is, because he's nobody. He's an empty vessel reading out teleprompter. He actually said the other day, I'm going to get in trouble. You're the president of the United States. Who are you going to get in trouble with? Your parents? I mean, that said it all. When he says, I can't answer that question, I'm going to get in trouble. Really?
Well, I think the vice president would have had something to say if he misspoke. Bo, we've got to take a break. I want to come back with you, and I want to talk about Elizabeth City, New Jersey, that developing situation. But then I want to talk to you about your friend Rudy Giuliani, talking with Bo Deedle, decorated New York City cop, the owner of Bo Deedle Investigations and a number of other businesses, but also a movie and television star. You've seen him in Goodfellas, Law and Order, Wolf of Wall Street, and The Irishman, which affects our local area because of its focus on the Joe Pesci character, which was Russell Bufalino. Bo, welcome back, and thanks for holding. But give me your thoughts on Elizabeth City, New Jersey. It appears as though the perpetrator was trying to drive away and actually was driving at the officers in question. What is the proper response to that kind of attack?
Well, first of all, it's Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We have an Elizabeth in New Jersey, but that's not it. It's just in North Carolina.
Yeah, Elizabeth City.
My thing is that as far as if you're using a car to run over police or hit police, that's using deadly force. You could kill an officer if you run them over. They're allowed at that point to use deadly physical force to stop them from using that car as a deadly instrument to kill the cops. So, and also, let's look at this young man's record of being involved in criminal enterprises all over the place for years and years and years. I think something like 80 pages of criminal enterprises.
180.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, you got me on that one, Bob. But my point is, again, here we go. We got another upstanding citizen. Probably they'll crowdfund me. He'll probably get $40 million just like the other gentleman that was the upstanding citizen who hadn't seen his child in 4 years, George Floyd. So, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just like rewarding the criminal enterprises. And right now, what's happening is you can get away with anything you want to do. New York City is about to erupt in this summer. And how are they going to erupt? Why are they going to erupt? Because anyone who is arrested with a gun, the last 1,000 gun arrests are on the street. No matter if they have 80 pages or 180 pages. Attempted murders, they're all on the street. So they know one thing. They have full venue to go out and do what they want to do because they're not going to be in jail.
Yeah. It is really scary that where the cops don't get the benefit of the doubt at a crime scene. I've never seen it like this.
I got another one. Here's the newest one that's all over the streets. Here's a new one. I commit an armed robbery with a gun. The cop actually does his job and grabs me. Next thing is I'm going to make an allegation. He called me the N-word. You know what's going to happen? The DA's office is going to focus on that allegation of racism, and they're going to drop the charges for robbery, and he'll walk, and the cop will get sued. This is what's going on.
Yeah. Now, Bo, let me ask this question, flipping it on the other side. What can be done? There are racist cops, very clearly. And bad cops. What can be done about that? Because that exists. And it's in some instances, unfortunately, in all the instances we're talking about, that's not a factor. Racism's not a factor. But when you have racist and bad cops, how do you weed them out?
Well, look, you have bad doctors, too. You have bad lawyers. You have bad everybody.
Sure.
Look, you weed them out as best as possible. And what we do is we tighten up the procedures. We tighten up that we can make sure that the cop coming on the force, that's a really thorough background. And if anyone shows signs of being a little unstable, there are checks and balances that we could do. Tighten it up. I'm for a completely professional police group. But to have the professionals, first of all, you got to pay them more money. If you we want them to be a judge, jury, and what else on the streets, we've got to be able to take and get rid of the bad apples. Did I see racist cops back in the 1970s? Yes, I did. Today, I'm going to tell you right now, in New York City, where we have 35, 36,000 officers, 75% of them are non-white. It's the most diversified police department in the world. So you got to tell me now, all my black friends and black officers out there are racist also. No, this is just a overreaction to every incident that's questionable. But what about the other hundreds of millions a year of interactions with cops and people? It's so minute, these actions, but yet the news media and my friend on Channel 4, that I'm very disappointed with, all they do is open up each night for talking about any and all incidents all over the country.
By the way, your friend Geraldo has gone full hard left. He used to be sort of a centrist, and now on all issues, I'm watching him. I'm like, what?
Well, you know, I talked to him the other day, and I said, be careful. Dan Bongino might knock you out.
Yeah. They had actual, like, if they were in the same studio the one night I was watching on Hannity, there would have been an actual fight.
I called Dan up, and I said, Dan, he's 76 years old. Dan, please, you're going to kill the guy.
I
love both of them. I love Dan, and I love Geraldo. I know Geraldo since the 70s when he was with the Young Lords. And I was a cop, and I love Geraldo. But you know what? That's what makes America great, that people can express their opinions. Isn't it wonderful we can listen to Geraldo, whether he wants to be a lefty or not? Hey, that's his right. That's what I love about this country. You can say what you want. I can say what I want. Geraldo, that's what makes America great. And that's why we can't give up our freedoms.
So, Bo, you played in the movies. You played a cop. You played sort of yourself in arresting Henry Hill at the end of the movie. Law and Order, you played a half a wise guy set in one of your favorite places, Rao's. Wolf of Wall Street, you played yourself. And then in The Irishman, you played a union leader. What was your favorite role of all of those?
Well, I was Joe Glimko. And Joe Glimko was the guy, a real guy out of Chicago, who was a mobbed up union guy. I'm the one that actually introduces the character, the Irishman character, Sheehan, to a guy named Jimmy Hoffa, played by Al Pacino, and Robert De Niro plays the Irishman there, and it was kind of cool to be the boss, to be the guy that was in charge of the operation, doing the scene with both of these tremendous actors. But yeah. I don't believe in. We don't talk politics, me and Rob De Niro. But I tell you the honest truth, we should keep the actors the frig out of politics. Do your acting, do what art that God gifted you with. Stay the hell out of politics. I don't want to know what your opinion is. I want to watch you. I want to watch De Niro at his greatest, like when he was in The Godfather, and even Pacino. I like to look at my actors and say, you know what, they're apolitical. Stay out of politics. That's what I say to the actors.
Well, your friendship with DiCaprio, I mean, you're on opposite ends, and you have a very good friendship with Leo DiCaprio. So, yeah, you're proof of that. My friend,
and he's a tree hugger, but yet he doesn't actually walk back and forth to California. I think he uses his private jet, you know.
Hey, question. Our friend Rudy Giuliani just got raided by the FBI. Boy, it seems like political payback for going after Hunter and his father during the campaign, doesn't it?
Well, I'm going to give you an inside scoop. I was involved with Rudy. I was at his apartment many a days and nights. The laptop from Hunter Biden was the laptop that was in Delaware. I saw the information on that laptop in Rudy's apartment. That is factual. And this is all a bullcrap. Now they got these two Ukrainian guys that they caught with their pants down, so they threatened him. So they're using him to flip on Rudy. That's what this is all about. And Rudy did nothing wrong. And I say, and I call out my other friend there, Big Face, John Kerry, Big Face. I got a picture somewhere hanging up. And Big Face was over there. Remember, he was over in Iran talking to Mullah Gula over there?
Yep.
He didn't have any kind of authority to be over there talking to Mullah Gula when he was telling them wait till after the election. And he was over there doing business, and he was not a registered agent at that time. Why don't they go after John Kerry?
Well, it's you got two-way. There is a one-way street gang, and there is unequal justice happening. And I think that everything they're doing, undermining the police, undermining equal justice and equal application of the law, is heading us in a direction that is beyond frightening, Bo.
I know, and you know, it's just I just worry about me going on the street because I'm not going to be a victim. And you know, I was a decoy. It's going to come. I wear my Rolex watch. It's worth a lot of money, and I wear it because I earned it and I bought it. And if someone thinks they're going to rob it from me and steal it from me, I am going to defend myself. And when I do, I guarantee I'll be on the front page of the New York Post. Whatever happens, I'll tell you right now, I had to do what I had to do.
Boy,
I'm not going to be a victim.
I remember being out with you, and everyone was telling their watch stories, their expensive watch stories, and I told you about my Bacardo's watch, which cost me $185, and which I love. But yeah, you should fight for that watch, Bo. Oh, listen, we're going to have you on a semi-regular basis because you've got a unique perspective.
I love you, Bob, and you know what? You're a great example of, you know, people. Look, we've all had our ups and downs. We've all made mistakes in our lives. But the great part about America is you fight your way back and you come back and you get blessed to recontinue your life. You don't crawl in a hole in a cage. You come out, hey, you dust yourself off. I made a mistake. I'm back, and I want to make everybody appreciate why I'm back, to tell the truth, to tell the fact, and you're the one to do it, Bob, and I really appreciate you being on the air, and people are very lucky to listen to you because you've walked the walk. We know you did the time, and now I want to listen to Bob Cordero because you're the man. Thank
you. Hey, Bo, thank you so much. Bo Deedle with us again, and thank you to him, decorated cop, movie and TV star, and the owner of a private investigative company, Bo Deedle and Associates in New York. And I missed it, author. Thank you very much to Bo Deedle.